السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء، والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا، والله واسع عليم. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We thank Allah Ta'ala for this great opportunity. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. And we also make dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He allows the last day of our earthly life to be this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. At the onset, I may just ask that today's bayan, today's topic may take a few minutes extra because of it being a very important topic. And to try and cover all the points in a short Jummah bayan is difficult. So therefore, just excuse me if I go a few minutes extra. So the topic that we'll be discussing today is a topic that many people have inquired about, many people are asking about, is that suddenly we are seeing something new that's come onto the market, and that is Islamically marketed insurance. Something that we knew historically, overwhelmingly, the ulama had warned us in the past, that insurance was a thing that was not permissible. But suddenly we're seeing insurance, and not only insurance, we're seeing life insurance now being marketed as Islamic. And not only being marketed as Islamic, it's been given a flavor of being noble, of being something that is desirable in Islam, something that Islam wishes a person to get involved in. So how does a position, a default position, change from something being haram, being impermissible? How does it change overnight to being permissible, and how do you reach a point where it now becomes desirable? One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to mind. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "La yashrabanna nasum min ummati al-khamr yusammunaha bighayri ismiha." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, definitely people from my ummah will drink wine, but what they will do is they will give this wine another name. They'll change the name of wine and they'll still take wine. So moving on, so we find that there is two types or two common insurances that are being marketed as Islamic. One is takaful and the other one is marketed as tazkiyah. So we'll speak about the two. The tazkiyah is dealing with life insurance, and the takaful dealing with general insurance that covers general insurance items. So people are asking, the concern that comes is firstly, this is being perceived as an independent entity. A new website has been created, separate website has been created for takaful, a separate website has been created for tazkiyah. And when you have an outward look that these two entities are not even registered with the Financial Services Board as a financial service provider, but yet they're soliciting funds from the public, it shouldn't be such that here we get another misrepresentation that happens in the name of Islam, where people are coming forward with funds, later realizing that the objective for which it was set out is not the same for what it marketed. Anyway, moving on, this bayan will not speak about the legal angle about these things, but let's looking at the Shari'i angle as how you get a situation where thing is known to be impermissible and it becomes permissible. So there are three hypothetical possibilities where something that is impermissible becomes permissible. The first is in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is something known as nasikh mansukh. That in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a law, there could have been a command that was there as impermissible. And in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an ayat came down, some revelation came down that made nasikh, that abrogated the previous law, and a new law had come. I'll give you one example. There isn't time to go into many examples. Initially, fasting would start when a person went to sleep. Person went to sleep at night, that's when his roza would start. His fasting would start at that point when he went to sleep. So if a person went to sleep early, his roza started early in the night. And now it would continue the whole day, the next day. And many people were hardworking. and it would become very difficult for them to fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had changed the law. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. They continue eating and drinking right up till dawn. So your roza now is not starting from the time you sleep. It's starting from when? From the time of Fajr. So now there was something was impermissible to eat after a person went to sleep. Now the law came, it's now permissible. So that's one hypothetical situation that we faced with. We know that it can't apply to insurance because the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed. So this abrogation of law can't come in. What is the second possibility? The second possibility is such that the ulama of the past all got it wrong. All of them had made a mistake by saying that insurance is impermissible. Now insurance has, we found out now, it become permissible. This is very, very improbable that everyone had got it wrong, and suddenly now, as we're moving closer to the time of Dajjal, and when fitnas are surrounding us, now suddenly insurance becomes permissible. Or the third possibility is such, is that there's some ingenious innovation that has taken place. Some ingenious innovation that has taken place, that what was historically haram, some engineering had taken place and we could make it halal. So now we look to see at the end of the bayan, if each one of us can decide whether it's ingenious engineering or disingenuous dishonesty. Anyway, what is insurance? What is insurance? Insurance is a contract in which an individual pays an insurance company in exchange for financial protection. In exchange for financial protection or reimbursement of losses resulting from a covered event. There's some event that may take place. It's a contingent event. It may take place, may not take place. But I'm entering into a contract with someone, with an insurance company, that if this event takes place, for example, if I skid with my car on two tires and I end up in the bush, now you must pay me out. Otherwise, I'll keep paying my premiums all the time. If some contingent event, which may happen, may not happen, occurs, then you pay me. So what happens? This is like a gamble. So this is a two-sided contract. It's a financial contract. Remember, this financial contract, and very important, it's two-sided. Person is paying the premiums, and you got an insurance company that's covering the premiums. So it's what we know as a bilateral contract, a two-sided contract between two parties. So if something happens, then you pay me. If nothing happens, I keep paying you. So it's like a gamble. It's a gamble that we are taking, that I may pay you more, you may end up paying me more, we don't know. The same thing will happen at a casino, the same thing happens at a lottery. I may end up making more, or you may end up making more. It's the law of averages that work, and that is how insurance companies live. They look to see the law of averages. We've got 100,000 clients that are paying. What's the likelihood of paying everyone out? Very unlikely. Out of 100,000, we may end up only paying 1,000 people out. So like that, we end up collecting a lot of money. So this is a gamble, and in Islam, gambling is completely forbidden. So this is what insurance is. So the question, the next question that comes, what's the problem that we got this type of a contract? What's the problem? In Shariat, any two-sided contract, bilateral contract means performance is demanded from two parties. Performance is demanded from two parties. For example, you go to a shop and you buy a bottle of water. You give your money, that is the performance that you have given. You've given the money, now they must deliver the goods, deliver the water that you ordered. Or if it's for a service, you go to an accountant, you go to an engineer, you go to an architect, you pay him for his service and he provides the service. He gives you the drawings, he gives you the financial statements, he gives you the engineer drawings. So you're paying him for his service, but this is a two-sided contract. And what's very important in Shariat is that every contract like this can't have three elements. The first element it can't have is gharar. Gharar means uncertainty. We don't know the price, we don't know the exchange item, what we're going to get in exchange. Or we don't know the period. In other words, when you'll pay. A lot of times when people do contracts, they say we sort it out later. Don't worry, we'll sort it out later. That's impermissible. We need to sort it out before the contract is decided. It doesn't matter how close we are, how good friends we are. But at the time of concluding the contract, these things must be known. What's the price? What is going to be the commodity that's going to be exchanged for that price? And what is the period of that payment? That must be known upfront. It can't be such that these things are not known. Now let's look at it in insurance, that firstly a man is giving every month. For example, he's giving 2,000 in insurance every month for his vehicle. So he's giving 2,000, 2,000. What is he getting in exchange? Can he tell you what he's getting? He doesn't know. He may get, he may not get. So there's uncertainty in terms of the exchange. Sharia doesn't allow for this. So this first thing is gharar. The second thing that makes it problematic is interest. Now when a person, if I give you, for example, 100 rand. Now I only can take, if we are exchanging money for money, the same notes, rands. If I give you 100 rand, I can only take 100 rand back from you. If I'm taking in dollars, it's a different currency. So therefore, it will go at the rate that we agree upon. But if it's rands for rands, I give you 100, you can only give me 100 back. If I give you 100 rand and you give me 120 rand back, the 20 rand now becomes interest. We're exchanging the same thing, but unequal amounts, it becomes interest. Now think about it, a person is contributing to the insurance company. He may contribute 50,000 and he may have a claim of 250,000. So now he's given 50,000 rand and he's getting 250,000 rand back. That's interest at a primary level. Then there's interest at a secondary level that occurs in insurance companies, is they reinsure themselves. And that reinsured insurance now reinsures itself. It continues like that. So there is continuous reinsuring that's taking place. Another thing they do is they take your money that's there with them and they invest it often in interest-related activities that now generates interest. So there's interest at a primary level in insurance companies and there's interest at a secondary level. The third problem with insuring is qimar, is gambling. I explained how it becomes a gamble, that there's uncertainty. In Shariat, tamlikul mal ala al-mukhatara, that a person is exchanging money, but it's dependent upon a contingent event. That we're exchanging money, but something may happen, may not happen, it's contingent, so it becomes a gamble. Or another way of explaining it is istiwa'ul janibain fi ihtimalil gharama, that both parties are taking a risk. We don't know. I'm contributing every month. Insurance company doesn't know whether I'm going to end up in the bush with my car and whether he has to pay me out, or whether I'm driving on the road, I'm going home to have T-bone steak and somebody just T-bones me on the road. Insurance company doesn't know that. So now it's a gamble that we are taking. So these three elements make a insurance contract impermissible. So now the question that begs and asks is how now, when you got these three elements that makes any bilateral two-sided contract impermissible, how did the people offering takaful, Islamic insurance, inverted commas, how did they get around these three hurdles that we just spoke about? What did they do that they could suddenly zigzag around these hurdles? So the first thing that they did was they reclassified it. So they say, what we'll do is we'll call this insurance payments, we'll call it a donation. We'll call it a contribution. So we won't call it an installment anymore. We'll say it's like a donation. So when it's a donation, it's only one-sided. It's not a two-sided contract. Now I'm asking you without laughing in the masjid, is that can you ever call an insurance premium a donation? Is anybody giving lillah to the insurance company? If anything, a person is trying to reduce his premiums. He'll now go and he'll negotiate for a reduction in the premiums. Donation is when you're walking outside the masjid, you'll see a man standing, one of our musalli standing with the lillah box there, and a person donates. Now that's what you call a donation. There's no counter performance demanded from the person that's collecting money. There's no premiums. There's no determination of any type of premiums. So what they did now, he said, okay, we'll call it a contribution. So first thing they did was reclassified what is an installment. And in Shariat, if you reclassify anything, there's no limit to where you can reach. For example, my friend Zubair, he says that Islam is only allowing us 4 wives. And me, I want 10. I want Japanese, I want Chinese, I want Russian, I want Indonesian, I want Malaysian. I want 10. How can I get 10? I said, very easy. If you just learn the game of reclassifying, all these ladies you choose, Malaysian, Indonesian, Chinese, whatever you want, just classify them as bandis. Bandis means slave girls. You can have a whole jamaat with you. You can take out your own mastura jamaat. Why? Because Islam, there's no limit to the amount of slave girls you can have. What you did, you just reclassified. A man is sitting in the walima, he says, you know what, in the men's section here, we're only eating papar and achar and we're talking about business. The ladies' section is where it's happening. I want to go there where the bride is. How can I go? Simple, just reclassify yourself as a woman. You classified yourself as a woman, now you can go in the ladies' section. So there's no limit to reclassifying. So here, when you got an installment payment, which is actually a one-sided payment, in a two-sided contract, you can't say it's a donation, it's only a one-sided contract. It's impossible. Whilst we got some time, I want to just show you from the contract itself why it's almost impossible to call or to name these payments as donation. So we just look. Firstly, you got a 30-page statement of cover. Before you can even get covered for insurance, here is the same takaful that say that this is a contribution. So what they have done is in all the contracts, where they would normally have installment, they just change the word to contribution. Remember something, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Everything is judged by the intention. Allah is not foolish. You change the word from installment to contribution or donation, it doesn't become a donation. In Sharia, there is a principle, al-i'tibaru bil-maqasidi wal-ma'ani, la lil-alfadhi wa la lil-mabani. Consideration is given to the substance of the contract, not to the words and the structure and the scheme that you put in place. For example, if I tell you, I'm selling you this glasses of mine, I'm gifting you this glasses of mine for 100 rand. I'm gifting you for 100 rand. Sharia to look at it as a sale. You can use the words of gifting, but in essence, an item is exchanged for money, it's a sale. So whether you want to call it a contribution, it doesn't make an installment a contribution. You can't change something just to bypass the three hurdles of gharar, of interest and gambling in a two-sided contract. So here, I'm just showing you 30 pages. These are publicly available, so therefore I'm making mention of it. So let's just look at some of the items that will show us that it's impossible to classify this as a donation or a contribution. So here in this statement of cover, it says, for cover to start, we must receive your contribution within 31 days of the start date. If we do not receive your contribution, your agreement will not start. If you want to renew your agreement, we must receive your contribution within 31 days of the anniversary date. If your payment is not received, the agreement will not renew. You will only have cover up to midnight of the last day of the year for which we have received your contribution. Can this ever be a donation? Do you know of anybody donating to any lillah, to any fund, to any borehole, to any masjid, and they tell them that we're going to cancel your contribution and we're going to cancel whatever we have to give you if you don't donate to us? It never happens. Like, next point, we will consider the claim only when we have received your outstanding contribution. In the event of cancellation, the company must give at least 31 days notice in writing of the intention to cancel a section or to cancel the entire agreement. So now here in the papers themselves, in the agreements themselves, they're calling it a two-sided contract. It's a contract between two parties. Otherwise, how are you going to sign this if it's just one-sided? So just the mere idea of reclassifying it and calling it a contribution is something that is preposterous, is something that is unthinkable, is actually something that is laughable. The next thing I want to bring to your attention is if you look at the debit order authorization form. Before we go to the debit order authorization form, the first thing I mentioned is in trying to make something haram, halal, they said we'll call it one-sided. The next thing they said is we got a waqaf. We got a waqaf here. And what you're doing is you're contributing to the waqaf. You're helping each other. Another man is contributing. So what we are doing is cross-subsidization. Cross-subsidization means Mr. Malani is giving, he's giving his insurance. Mr. Jailani is also giving his insurance. Mr. Fazlani is also giving his insurance. Each Lani is giving his insurance, but he's doing it to help the next person. I ask you, do you know of any person that's paying money towards insurance to help the next person? Every person that's insuring, he's doing it for himself. If a person wants to help the next person, he'll take out money from his pocket and he'll give the next person. He don't give it to some insurance company. So this is what they're saying. What we're doing is we're creating a waqaf. We're doing a waqaf, and now what you're doing is you're doing some act of nobility. You are contributing to the waqaf. This is the second thing they say. Now let's look to see what the documents are saying. One is what they're saying as far as advertising, as far as marketing, if we may call it misleading or misrepresenting marketing. Let's look to see what the debit order form is saying, that from your bank account to their bank account, let's see if the money is going to a waqaf or is going to a normal conventional insurance company. Now, this is where the problem comes. The normal conventional insurance company, but we just created a front. So here, this is what the debit order form is saying, is that we, the undersigned, request and authorize Bright Insurance Company. Bright Insurance is a normal, conventional insurance company. So we, the undersigned, request and authorize Bright Insurance Company to draw against our account the amount necessary for payments of the total inclusive monthly contribution. So now one is telling the public that you're giving to a waqaf. Where the money is going? Bright Insurance Company is going somewhere else. I'll mention one story just now, inshallah, so we can get a better understanding. Again, here in the debit order form, furthermore, notwithstanding any contrary items contained herein or in any participation agreement, if any monthly annual installment is not paid by no later than 31 days after the due date for payment, the participation agreement in respect of such payments made shall automatically terminate without any notice. Finish. Completely terminate our contract if you don't. Can this be a donation? And another part that catches the eye here is looking at the debit order form. Money is going from where? From your account directly into some conventional insurance by the name of Bright. And yet they're saying this is a noble act you're doing to help. Wa ta'awanu, these are eyes that are quoted. Allah Ta'ala, protect us. Wa ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa. Help one another in good deeds and contribute to this waqaf. Where is your money going? Directly. I'm showing you from the contract, debit order form. It's going to some conventional insurance. And listen to this part of this last part where you, before you sign, I confirm that this application and Sharia declaration shall be the basis of this agreement between myself and Bright Insurance. One side you're saying, donate towards this waqf, contribute towards the waqf, and one side you're signing here is that I confirm that this agreement is between me and a Bright Insurance. Now look at this. What type of misrepresentation can you call this? So I said I'll mention one story so that we'll get a little bit of a better idea. There was, or just a fiction story, but to understand, there's Fundamerva hardware that's operating. Now, Mr. Fundamerva, he can't get any black economic empowerment contracts because he can't get any BE contracts. He can't get any government tenders. Why? Because I'm too white. Now, he thinks to himself, let me put a layer in front. Let me do something what we normally know, and when we used to do BE auditing, we used to see this very often. Let me create a front. So front means let me create another company. So what Mr. Fundamerva does, Fundamerva Hardware, what he does, he creates one company called Shabalala Hardware. And what he does, he puts as the directors of Shabalala Hardware, his maid, Tembi Malunga, and he puts his garden boy, Temba Malunga, as the directors. And then he says, if you have any inquiries, please contact Problem Imkize, he's my consultant. So somebody that's working for him there, he puts him as a contact. And then he creates a website called shabalala.co.za. And he creates, and he writes there, big, black like me, black forever, making the night feel shy, black wins. So he creates all these things, shabalala.co.za. Now, he sends those documents in for tender. And these people that are looking at the government contracts, Shabalala Investments, Temba Malunga, Tembi Malunga, it's looking so good. But what he forgets to do, he forgets to change where the payments must go. So the payments are still going to Fundamerva Investments. And when the people are signing, then when later on they find out, you think they'll be happy or they'll be upset that this person had conned us. Now this is just a story for you all to understand what's happening. So on one side, these websites have been created, takaful.co.za. The person goes there and says, takaful. But when he's signing the contract, where's the money going? I showed it to you now, it's going to Bright Insurance. When a person is doing the contract, who's assessing, who's effectively providing the service of insurance? It's a conventional insurance company. All this is happening, brothers, in the name of Islam. And you got Sharia certificates that are coming. I spoke about Sharia certificate and Ponzi schemes. I want one point we must remember is that when we hear these things, don't lose respect for all ulama. There are some ulama, as I mentioned, it's a niche market. It's just a handful that are doing these things, that are taking millions in exchange of these Sharia certificates, making these fixed deposits, these call accounts permissible in these riba institutes, trying to make insurance halal. We know people take out insurance. We know Muslims are doing drugs. We know Muslims are drinking. But remember something, that regret that a man has in the heart is something very liked in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Allah loves when a man has got regret. Allah loves when a man has got hatred for sin. A day will come when Allah will forgive this person because of the regret he got in his heart. I'm doing it, but I know I'm doing a wrong thing. But when he is bluffed and he's duped that you are doing something, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and you're doing some good action. There are two ahadiths also that these people were promoting takaful quote. The first hadith is the hadith of the Ash'ariyin. There was a tribe from Yemen, the Banu Ash'ar tribe. They had a very good quality which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam liked. And what was that quality is when they were traveling and their provisions ran low, or if they were at home and their provisions ran low, they had one quality is they will ask everybody, bring whatever you got. They will have a container or a sheet that they will all put their provisions in. Everyone come. Whatever you got one khajur, come with one khajur. You got 200 khajur, you come with 200 khajur. You got 2,000, you come. You got nothing also, you also come. And what they will do is put everything together and equally they will split it. Each one got his container there. Equally each one will take. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked that action of this Ash'ariyin. He said, hum minni wa ana minhum. They are from me and I am from amongst them. What it means is they are on my way and I am on their way. In other words, Nabi Sallam liked the sharing. So these people that are promoting insurance, they say, look, this Ash'ariyin, this is what they did. Each one contributed for each other. Now just look at this. If one person had one, he came with one. Person had 1,000, he came. Person had nothing, he came. Was there any question of if you don't bring your contribution, after 31 days we're cancelling your contract. You must pay us within so much period. You must give us this amount, otherwise nothing. Was there anything like that? Nothing. So actually you're making a mockery of the hadith of Rasulullah. This was a simple bring and share arrangement. What you got, come, we'll all share it. Which insurance company in the world works like that? So to use this to justify insurance a Mubarak practice of the Ash'ariyin is totally preposterous. Another hadith that is used, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that a person came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I tie my camel and trust in Allah, or should I leave it untied and then trust in Allah ta'ala?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "I'aqilha wa tawakkal ala Allah," that tie your camel and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him was take some physical security. Take physical, for example, if your camel is outside, tie it. If your car is parked outside, ensure that it's locked, your alarm is on. Or if you've got a garage, put your car in the garage. Take some physical security for the assets that Allah Ta'ala has given you, and then trust in Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever said, take out an insurance contract. Never said, take out a gambling contract. So what they use this hadith here, and say, look, there's it from the hadith, you must take out insurance. What has tying the camel got to do with taking out a gambling contract? It's got absolutely nothing to do. So this is another thing that they use. The reason why I'm mentioning this, brothers, is more and more people are getting caught up in things that, in life insurance also, the same principle is being used. Although we won't discuss it in detail, allow me about 5 to 7 minutes more, inshallah, and I'll complete. I apologize for the extra time. It's a very important topic. More and more we'll start seeing these things. Imagine, and it's being marketed as the first time in South Africa this product is being launched, as though we have to be happy that something haram has become halal. If we hear for the first time in South Africa, strip club has become halal, will we all start getting happy? Come, boys' night out, let's we all go, it became halal. Nightclub became halal, casino became halal. This is what it, we should be worried. If something for the first time has become halal, we got to be worried. Don't be happy about it. Yeah, I got also just to show you, for the life insurance, Allah Ta'ala protect. Brothers, when a person passes away, that's his last time, his last chance, he got to make tawbah. When a man is in the qabr and people are now eating interest because he took out life insurance, what will happen to him in the qabr? Think about it. There's no chance to correct yourself whilst you're in the qabr. Now here again, the life insurance, before you sign it, they'll tell you, if you contribute 585 rand a month, we will cover you for 2.1 million. You contribute 394 rand, we'll cover you for 1.8 million. You contribute 254 rand, we'll cover you for 230,000. You contribute 768 rand, we'll cover you for 2.6 million. What is this? Can you ever call this a donation? Can it ever make sense to be called a donation? One side is promising to give you, whether you'll end up, Allah will give you a long life, you live to 100, you may pay more than you'll ever get. Or you may die the next day and they'll end up paying you more. It's a gamble that you're taking, but you're in the qabr. How are you ever going to get the tawfiq of making tawbah? The next thing that is very commonly used is a name dropping. And this is something that mesmerizes many people and they get deceived and they get duped. And one name that is used very often is Mufti, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatuh. His name is used very often. So whenever they're trying to prove that fixed deposits are halal, call accounts are halal, Mufti Taqi Sahib's name is being used. So yeah, I got a fatwa from Darul Uloom Karachi, where Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib is the chief mufti of Darul Uloom or the Darul Ifta in Karachi. So yeah, the question, the gist of the question is that recently in our country, banks have opened up Islamic windows. In other words, it's a conventional bank. Majority of their income is from riba, but yet they opened up windows and people are using the name of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib to prove that these conventional banks are permissible. Is it true that Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib approves of all these banks that are opening up? In other words, is it correct to use Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib's name? This is called name dropping. So look at the answer. I just want to read out to you the main parts of the answer. So the answer says that Darul Ifta, Jamia, Darul Uloom Karachi does not directly examine the Sharia compliance transactions of any bank or any institution. Therefore, Darul Ifta cannot give a verdict, a direct verdict on the Sharia compliance or transaction for any financial institution. One minute you're using the man's name, and here he's saying we don't give a direct verdict. So we cannot give a ruling on any financial institution. Is this not deception? And very often in a discussion, it's as though Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib's name is the trump card. Like, you know, when you're playing a game of Tani, person hits the thing down on the table and he calls Tani. So if you use Mufti Taqi Sahib's name, every other argument, Shari argument is out of the window. This is now hujjat. Unfortunately, that's what it has become in the world of financing. So if tomorrow Mr. Netanyahu in Israel wants to open up an Islamic window to try and make money, even there Mufti Taqi Sahib's name will be used. And what he's saying is we don't approve any banks, therefore we cannot give a ruling on any bank. And then the next part, which is even more important. However, a fundamental guiding principle is that engaging with non-interest-based financial institution is permissible under the Sharia. Engaging in non-interest-based financial institution is permissible under the Sharia, under Sharia principles. I want to read the Urdu part so you can understand even better. Albata usuli jawab ye hai ke jo ghair sudi maliyati idara. Ghair sudi maliyati idara. Those non-interest based financial institutions. Automatically FNB is out of the door. Automatically EBSA is out. Standard Bank is out. All these insurance companies are out. But whose name is being used? Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib. Can you see the misrepresentation that is taking place? Here himself is saying that a fundamental guiding principle is it must be a non-interest based financial institution. And then he adds another clause that they must be, it must be under the supervision of reliable, trustworthy ulama. And he goes on to say that these ulama that are there, you must also trust the knowledge and piety of these ulama. Then only now it's permissible for you to invest in those institutions. What a far cry from what is being told to us. So therefore, it's very, very important. This fatwa is dated 30th December 2023. So therefore, when we hear names and we see these things, we shouldn't get carried away. I'll finish off now in the next 3 or 4 minutes. People ask, what is the alternative? What is the alternative for insurance? The easiest way of doing it is self-insure. For example, every month, take out 5,000. I'm giving an example. Whatever person can afford, take out 5,000, take out 10%, or take out a little bit more than that, and put it one side. After 1 year, how much he saved? 60,000. After 10 years, how much he saved? 600,000. And if a person saved his halal, clean money, say he saved the 600,000, nothing happened to him. After that, his family got 600,000 halal money to use. Think about it this way. If the insurance company can see profit in our money, why can't we see profit in our own money? If someone else can see profit in our money by collecting it every month, why can't we see profit in our own money? And if the whole Ummah thinks like that, how much will the Ummah save? We're talking about boycotting Israel and boycotting the Kuffar, but how much money are we cumulatively giving to them via insurance? So therefore, if we save our own money, and then if something happens and it's still the will of Allah Ta'ala, we accept it. But it is a very intelligent way. I'll give you 2 quick incidents. One brother told me looting time, he had many cell phone stores. Cell phone stores, we know, they carry very high priced items, cell phones, etc. So he says, many of my stores got looted. And this is a catastrophic event that happens. He said, but what I did, I looked at all the losses. But I was not insured. I looked and I saw what I would have paid for insurance all these years for all my stores. I did a calculation and I looked at how much I lost. I made far more than what I lost. Allah Ta'ala made it such. Another person came and he explained, he's got a trucking company. He said, every now and then some accidents, we do a claim from each, every now and then some accident, one of the fleet vehicles needed to go for repairs. I said, I'm cancelling all my insurance. And I called all my drivers and I told them, listen here, from now on we got no insurance. If any accident happens, you all are responsible. He says, from that day onwards, hardly any accident happened. Hardly any accident, and I'm saving so much. So we don't have to follow the West in every device, in every scheme that they come up with. We don't realize how much money we are losing. So the first thing is self-insure. And there are many people, my father, Allah Ta'ala grieve him, long life, as I'm just using it as an example. Sometimes we think only Maulana's talk like this. Accountants and chartered accountants, they'll give you other advice. He's one of the first Indian chartered accountants in the country, practicing for over 50 years with a master of business administration. Some of the staff are here, they know him. That in a matter of couple of seconds, he can add up the whole balance sheet for you. Income statement, he can look at the trial balance and tell you exactly what closing entries to put. Allah Ta'ala had given him, brilliant. But no insurance, no medical aid. And like that, person is not cared. In fact, there was one staff member by the name of Mr. Pandey. He says, Mr. Khan, I notice you don't have any accidents. What's your trick? So he said, my trick is I'm not insured. So he said, I'm cancelling. Hindu guy says, I'm cancelling my insurance. And after that, he said, hey, you're right. From that day onwards, no accident I had. So who said that we have to take out insurance? This is a fickle and this is an imagination. It's a thing of the imagination that we have to take out. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us? One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماسا وتروح بطانا. If you put your trust in Allah, as you ought to put your trust in Allah, Allah will provide for you like how He provides for the birds. Any insurance the birds got? Any fridge the birds got, any freezer the birds got, any protection the birds got. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَغْدُوا خِمَاسَ وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانَا. They leave in the morning hungry and they return full. Trust in Allah, Allah is providing for them. In fact, the ladies, the pious ladies of the past, they would tell their husbands when they're leaving their homes, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِينا وَلَا تُطْعِمْنَا حَرَامًا فَإِنَّا نَصْبِرُ عَلَى الْجُوءِ وَلَا نَصْبِرُ عَلَى النَّارِ. That you husbands of ours are going out to work. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to us. Fear Allah ta'ala with regards to us in terms of what you are feeding us. Fear Allah in terms of what you are feeding us. Because we can make sabr on hunger. We cannot make sabr on the fire of Jahannam. We can never make sabr on the fire of Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ بِمَا أَخَذَ الْمَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. That a time will come in this ummah where a person, a man, won't care what he's taking, whether he's taking halal or he's taking haram. That care won't even be there. Allah protect us. We must be very considerate, concerned. I'll finish off on the statement of Hazrat Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayh. He says that a man leaves out one dirham of haram. A man leaves out one dirham of haram. It's better for him than giving 100,000 dirhams in sadaqah. Better than giving 100,000 dirhams in sadaqah is just leaving out one dirham of haram. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, give me the tawfiq of understanding what's happening, understanding that deen is not something we can just play with, just change the names, use names, create websites like shabalala.co.za and suddenly something haram will become halal. Let's realize deen is something serious. We got one chance, we got one opportunity before we hit the qabr. Let us do things the right way. In every rakat of every salah, we're saying, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Allah guide us to the straight path. We have to live a straight life. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.